just want to start by telling you a little bit of a story. And that is, there was two young boys once. And these young boys live with their parents. And every night they'd have to go to bed really early. So... Oops. 7 o'clock came, and at 7 o'clock they had to go to bed. Now, these boys were really adventurous boys, and 7 o'clock bedtime just didn't really fit with them at all. And there was this huge, huge fruit tree outside their house, and every night they'd go up to bed, and they'd wait a little bit of time, make sure their parents knew that they were asleep. Out they climbed through their bedroom window, down through the fruit tree, over to the orchard, and they'd play ball for a good hour, and then sneak back home. And this went on for quite some time. One morning then, having breakfast with the family, and they heard the father and mother talking, and the dad says to mum, "Do you know what? We haven't had any fruit off that fruit tree for I don't know how long." He said, "I think I'm going to arrange for it to be cut down." Well, the boys went into panic mode. If this fruit tree wasn't there, that was their nightly fun out the window. So they thought about it, and they thought about it. And then the one boy said to the other one, "I've got an idea." Upstairs they went into their bedroom, they raided their piggy banks, down to the nearest shop, they bought loads and loads of string and a shed full of apples. When the parents went to bed that night, home they came, and they tied all of these apples to this tree. In the morning, the parents got up, the father had gone out to pick up the newspaper, comes back in the house and said to mum, "You never guess what?" He said, "Years." He said, "We haven't had any fruit." He said, "Absolutely amazing." He said, "I woke up this morning and this tree was just absolutely full of fruit." And the mother said, "Gosh, that's incredible." And he brings this fruit in, and there's a huge tub of apples. And the mother said, "Gosh, that really is amazing." And the mother and father are looking at each other. And the boys just couldn't understand why, to them, it was quite simple. Why couldn't the parents accept this, you know, fruit? So one of the boys plucks up the courage and says to dad, "Well, dad, what's so incredible about it?" He said, "Well, look at all these apples." And the boy said, "Yeah, it's brilliant." He said, "It's a pear tree." And that just tells us about the different type of fruit. And each tree bears fruit that it's meant to bear. It doesn't bear anything other than the fruit it's meant to bear. And today we're going to look at fruit, and we're going to talk a little bit about fruit. So first of all, how many of you like fruit? Most of us like fruit. What's your favourite fruits? Apples, strawberries, bananas, pears, blackcurrants, bananas again, yeah? Mangoes, melon. Does melon grow on a tree? It's a fruit. Lots and lots of different fruits, okay? Each of us have probably got our favourite fruit. And every single one of us could probably reel off shed loads of fruits that we like. But every single fruit looks different. It tastes different, and the texture's different when you eat it. All different types of fruit. Now, the Bible talks about fruit, but it's a different kind of fruit. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is a little bit like real fruit, because each fruit is different and special. So, where does the fruit of the Spirit come from? Well, when we ask Jesus to come and live in our lives, his Spirit stays with us all the time, and he gives us the special fruit. And as we grow and learn more about Jesus, the Spirit gives us more and more fruit, and we become more and more like Jesus. We're going to look at the actual fruit, and I need 9 volunteers for this. Children, please, adults, don't get too excited. So 9 kids, out you come. Now, what do these fruit look like? What are they? Clementines. How many of us like clementines? These are the sweet and juicy type. We love clementines. But inside each of these clementines today, there's a little bit of a secret, a little bit of a surprise. So I want each of you guys to try and open your clementines. Victoria will help. We've got a little bucket here. Right, how many of you have found something inside your piece of fruit? Did I? How did I stick it inside? Oh, is it? All right then. Okay. Yeah, pull that out. That's a daisy. There we go. You got yours? Wow. And what have you got inside, guys? They can eat their fruit, because fruit's good for you.
You can eat your fruit.
Do you want one of these? Yeah? One of these, babe? Now, you need to remember what order you were in. That's important. Okay, Benga, what was inside of yours? Oh, right, okay. What's that?
I don't know.
You best open it then. Nice and loud. What's inside yours?
Is it?
Oh, you in the wrong space. You are, aren't you? You'll have to wait a minute there. That's a secret. Don't let anyone know that. What's yours, babes? Want to help you? That's it. Okay. I did it a bit too tight, didn't I? They sound all rubbish. I'm going to eat your food here. I'm going to grow up nice and strong. Wow, what you got? Right, okay, let me have a look. Oh, lovely. Nice and loud. What's yours?
Love.
Okay. And yours?
Joy.
Elijah's is peace.
Benga?
Patience.
What have we got on the Addy?
Yuck. Kindness.
Kindness?
Yeah. Hold it. Goodness.
Goodness. Do you know what yours is?
Faithfulness.
Nice and loud. Faithfulness.
Gentleness.
Self-control. Well done, guys. Fruit of the Spirit. You can go and sit down now, guys. Thank you very much. What, babes? Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy. How many of you know about those fruit? How many of you have heard of the fruit? How many of you have heard of the fruit of the Spirit? Well, a couple of you, that's good. How many of us understand what the fruit of the Spirit means? We're going to have a little look, and the easiest one to have a look at the moment is love. What do we think love is? Anyone? Showing kindness to other people, yeah? Anything else? When he's being nice. You can love your husband when he's being nice. You can love your children. Now, that's easier than loving your husband sometimes, but yeah, we can love our children. Love your neighbour. Help people. Definitely. Do we think it's easy to love everybody? What type of people don't we think is easy to love? Anybody? I knew that would come back into it somewhere. Sometimes people can get on our nerves a little bit, and sometimes people can be mean to us, and we can find it really difficult to love. But God's love is completely different to our worldly love. And God's love isn't based on feelings at all. Love is a decision to be committed to other people without condition and without circumstance. With God's love, we can love people who we find it difficult to love. We can love people who don't love us. Sometimes we find it hard, but with God and with that fruit of the Spirit, we can love people that we don't think are lovable. What about joy? Who can show me what joy looks like? Dave, show me what joy looks like.
Before we go on, I wanted to, tell us that in 1 Corinthians 13, God told us about what love is. It says, if you go into 1 Corinthians 13, 8, it's just a bit. The whole of chapter 13 talks about love. And then verse 8 says, love never fails, we prophesy and all that, that if you prophesy, if you do everything and you don't have love, you're just nothing. Love, actually, I think, is the basis of our living. Love, you have to do, you can't live without love. You have to love. You have to love others. You have to show love. It's difficult, but, God can help us.
Okay, Dave, sorry, you're going to have to show us joy again. What's another word for joy?
Happiness.
Okay, what makes us happy? Christian, what makes you happy? Playing the PS3. I don't blame you. I like playing the PS3. Anybody else? Getting what? Payday makes us happy every month. Chocolate. How many people does chocolate make happy? Anybody else? What makes you happy?
Having family around.
Yeah. Good news. Receiving good news. Definitely. Kyle, what's making you happy at the moment? And what's that? PSP. Hey. Okay, so we do often think that joy, happiness, comes from material things, don't we? I mean, already we've said PS3, PlayStation, payday, all of these things, there's joy again, all of these things are material things. And they can make us happy, but what happens when they're not there anymore? What happens when the PlayStation 3 breaks and you can't play it anymore? Or the PSP's being banned because somebody's been a little bit naughty, perhaps. Or payday, and the bills are just so big that payday hasn't made a blind bit of difference. How many of us can then get fed up and miserable? And a little bit sad? Yeah? Well, the Bible tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can only have the joy of the Lord as our strength when we know him, when we obey him, and when we fellowship not just with the Lord, but with each other as well. And that's where joy comes from. And we need to remember that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Not the joy we get from PlayStation, or the joy we get from payday, although they do help. But the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's something that cannot be taken away. That is something that is consistent. Okay, the next one is what? Peace. Okay, when we usually think about peace, we think about no more fighting, no more war. We think about peace across different nations. And that is right, but that's not the peace that the peace that this is talking about. This is the peace we get when we really, really get to know God well. Anybody know what they think peace is, that peace? Being secure and knowing that we're loved by God, yeah?
I like to say as well that, this peace, the Bible says, the peace I give to you is the peace that the world cannot give. Mm-hmm. So, and before you can actually have that peace here, you've got to allow it. There's so many things around, that's making you not have that peace. In fact, you might be in the most secure place, but still not have that peace in here.
Peace is freedom from worry. And it's knowing that who God is in our lives. And until we know who God is in our lives, we won't experience that peace. Because when we know who God is in our lives, we know that God is in control in every situation. Even the bad stuff that happens, we can know that God is in control. And that's where we get our peace from. Okay, how many of you struggle with patience? If I didn't see a hand up, I would think you were all telling porcupines. I think patience is something that we really, really struggle with. And that's because of who we are. And a lot of the time, we want things now. Or we want something done now. Or we want things to happen now. And if it doesn't happen now, this minute, we can tend to get very impatient. We can tend to lose our rag a little bit. Is that a... Okay, so patience. What do we think patience is? Definitely, yeah. Perseverance, yeah. We've got to remember that patience is waiting on God and waiting on what God wants for our lives. And a lot of us can find that quite difficult. How many of you have ever asked for God for something and expected it like that? Or how many of us have asked God for something and then 2 weeks later we're sat here thinking, okay, why isn't this happening? It's something we do, isn't it? Yeah? Think of Abraham. Abraham was promised a son by God. Anybody know how long Abraham had to wait for that promise to be fulfilled? Yeah, 25 years. And God, what we have to remember is, no matter how impatient we can be, God is always on time. And God's timing is perfect. And that means sometimes God teaches us patience by making us wait. So we just need to remember, when we do get impatient, especially in the things of God, God's timing is perfect. Okay, what's the next one? Well, it's in the wrong order, but the next one is kindness we're going to look at. Now, this should be fairly easy, but sometimes it's not. How many of us find it really easy to be kind to somebody who's just well-mean, really, really just mean? You want to give them the right hand of fellowship, literally, but not show a great deal of kindness, yeah? Okay. Sometimes we have to remember as well that your kindness to someone else is all that they need to remember that somebody loves them, that somebody thinks of them. Having that kindness is showing goodness, is showing generosity and friendship to everybody. And that's something we should find quite easy, but it is something that we do all struggle with. Okay, the next one, being good or goodness, is the next fruit. What do we think, and I want the children to answer this one, what do we think being good means? Tekla, do we know what being good means? Washing dishes. Brilliant. How many of you parents would agree that washing dishes is a good thing? Definitely, I think so. Brilliant. Okay, anybody else? Carlo, what does being good mean? Well, what would your parents think being good, you doing something good was? Homework. Homework's doing something good? Christian? Obeying. Well done. Okay. Having the gift of goodness means that God can depend on us to be honest, to repent of our sins, and to turn away from doing bad stuff. But we also need to try and act that way so that other people can see God in us. And we need to remember that the only true goodness that we have is the goodness of God living in us. We can't do it on our own. Okay, next one is faithfulness. Can anybody tell me what faithfulness is? I think Elijah's got a bit of an idea. Anybody? Faithfulness. Bit of a hard one. People can rely on you. Yeah, definitely. Be what, babe? True, definitely. People can rely on you and to be true, well done.
Everybody say yes. People
Yeah. Being faithful is keeping your promises. And God shows us, as with all of the fruits, that he is faithful in all things, even when we're not. Yeah? And what an amazing thing that is. Even when we fail, and even when we mess up, God is faithful throughout. Okay, gentleness. I'm going to look at Dave here. Not because of that reason, Dave. Think of holding a brand new baby. You've done a bit of that lately, haven't you? How many of us hold the baby and throw them all over the place? I think Mum would have a bit of a thing to say about that. When we hold a brand new baby, we're very gentle, aren't we? What don't we want to do? We don't want to break them. We don't want to drop them. We don't want to be too rough or hurt them. So when we hold that brand new baby, that's the kind of gentleness that God's talking about. And it's about saying no matter what situation comes into our lives, we're supposed to be gentle in how we deal with those situations. Now, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't stick up for ourselves when we know that somebody's done something that's wrong. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't approach somebody and talk to somebody about something that we feel is a bit of an issue. It just means that our motivation should be right when we do it. We should be gentle in the way that we deal with situations. I'm getting a bit of a funny look there. Is that aimed at me or you? Okay. The last fruit is self-control. And this is a really, really important one. What does self-control mean? Hold your tongue. Right, Dave, should we go back through the list again? To hold your tongue, anything else? Don't lose your patience, yeah? Yeah, definitely. It means to be, self-control means to be in control of our emotions, to be in control of our behavior, and to also be in control of the things that we say. Every one of these fruits are for our good, but they're also for God's glory. And there are times in our life when we don't bear these fruits that we struggle with difficult things. How many of you are gardeners? Any of you like a little bit of gardening? Shirley, you love a bit of gardening? Dave's a bit, not sure. Anybody else? Victoria tries. Okay, what does it mean to grow something? What does that thing need to grow from a tiny, tiny bud into something that's big and strong and producing what it should be producing? That was loads then. It needs feeding, attention, watering, pruning. It needs love. Talk to it. Ode, I'm a little bit worried now, but we'll go with talking to it. What else does it need? Time? Yeah, definitely. Do you know what? One of the funny things is, how many of us know that when we plant something, sometimes we need to fertilize it? We need to put a little bit of fertilizer in with the soil. What is fertilizer? It is food, but what type of food is it? It can be a bit gunky. It can come from lots of animals. And we're using this fertilizer and we're putting it on our beautiful little planty thing, whatever we've grown. And sometimes life can be a little bit like that. Sometimes we can have fertilizer thrown at us. That's the difficult situations, yeah? The difficult things that we face. Somebody mentioned pruning. When something grows, it has to be pruned because sometimes there's dead wood or there's parts of the plant that are dead and they need to be cut off before that thing can grow and blossom and become all that it's meant to be. And sometimes God has to do that in our lives. Sometimes we get the fertilizer and all the rubbish thrown at us, but it all helps to build our character. God comes along then, he prunes us. He cuts off all the dead wood and allows us to move forward. Now, that can be quite a painful process. How many of you have ever prayed, Lord, give me patience? Now, do you, within 5 seconds flat, or the following morning, wake up and are suddenly the most patient person in the world? Okay. How does God teach us patience? God will teach us patience by bringing a situation into our lives that is really going to test our patience to the limit. Okay? So we ask God for patience, and then all of a sudden something happens, and we think, oh, Lord, God teaches us patience. And he teaches us that process by making us go through something that helps us to learn it. He doesn't give us the patience overnight. It's not a split thing, because if he did that, it wouldn't teach us anything. If we ask God, oh, Lord, just, you know, let me be more, give more love to people. Let me just be more of a loving person. You can guarantee God will bring somebody into your life that is really unlovable, and you will learn the lesson of how to love somebody. And that's how God teaches you love. And it's the same with all of the gifts. Every single one of us. Self-control. We ask God, Lord, help me be more in control of things. And we'll probably find over the next couple of weeks we'll blow it more than we've ever blown it. But that's because God brings these situations into our lives that he teaches us the things that we ask for. But ultimately is remembering that God is in control of every situation. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is something that as we develop and as we mature and as we become closer to God, so that fruit will develop and mature. Like a plant, it goes from the very early stage, it goes into a little bit of a bud, it grows, you've got some flowering, and then it blooms into whatever it's supposed to be. That will happen. Sometimes it takes time, and sometimes it takes a lot of difficult situations. But it's just remembering, as long as we keep our eyes on God, and as long as we remember that God is in control of every situation, then we will see that fruit start to develop in our lives. And it is something that we should be praying for, something that we should be seeking God for. Victoria's just going to pray now.
Morning. How wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
David said something that I will enter the gate of God with thanksgiving in my heart. Amen. And I'm very grateful that God has given me the grace and all of us to come under his feet again. I would like to use this opportunity to share a little bit testimony of my own. Amen. How I got to know Christ. Well, it all started in 2004, in the month of September. As a young boy from high school, a friend of mine one day invited me to a church. So after the church service, the pastor called me and asked me 2 questions. He said, Tony, are you just a church goer or a born-again Christian? Well, I told him, my parents are Christians, and therefore, every Sunday, I follow them to church. And he told me, I got it all wrong. Amen. I got it all wrong. So I asked him, what's the difference? So after he explained to me, being a churchgoer and a born-again Christian, I personally understand that I was out of track. So he told me that if he can lead me to Christ, I accepted, and he led me to Christ. So after that moment, he normally visits me at home, share the word of God with me. I also sometimes visit his house. We do Bible studies together. Little by little, he was able to bring me up in a different way, which I never had when I was young or when I was growing up. After a year, for him seeing my improvements in the vineyard, he told me his vision for Christ, like witnessing to people since John chapter 10 says something that there are sheep out there who also need to go out, bring back to the pen for the shepherd to flock them. So he told me that if I can assist or help, I told him that, all right, that's okay with me. So I started with him house to house, visiting hospitals at the hospitals, prisons, at encouraging people, sharing God, sharing the word of God with people, and praying for them as well too. So then later, I developed some zeal within me. Even when the pastor is not around with me, I normally go alone to my friends, my colleagues. That time, I share the word of God with them. And by God's grace, I was able to win some of my own peers to Christ. And I saw that has really motivated me a lot. So I never gave up. I was always with him, visiting people, helping people, both spiritually and physically. So I quite remember when I was about to leave Ghana, I told God that, God, since you have started a good work in me, I know you, Lord, not end it here. Even when I'm leaving this country, I know that wherever you, Lord, are taking me, I know you continue that good work with me. So I pray that God lead me to peoples or a fellowship that had the same zeal to work for you. So I quite remember when I got to Italy, I was able to join a fellowship who also have the similar vision. So I joined them up and down, helping them, assisting them both spiritually and physically. So when I was leaving Italy for this place too, I said, God, don't end it here. I want you to continue with me. And thank God, I am here with you, wonderful people who have the zeal and commitment to work for God. And I'm very pleased to be here. I really thank God that God also had brought me here. And as a servant, I talked to one or two people here, and they also shared their own visions with me. And I also had that strong feeling that, no, God is still keeping me on track. So I'm praying that God should also create in me a heart and a willingness spirit of a servantship so that I will continue to dwell under his feet. And now to end, I would like to add a little bit to what my sister just said concerning the fruit of the Spirit. You know, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, before the ascension of Christ, God told his disciples to go and wait and pray for the Father to send down the Holy Spirit. So as we Christians, if we believe that we have that Spirit that we received in us, therefore we are bound to exhibit this 9 element of the Spirit. You cannot tell me that you have the Spirit with you, the Spirit of God with you, whilst you cannot love your brother, you cannot love your sister, or you have no patience, you have no kindness, you are not faithful to your children, father or mother, or husband or wife. So if we consist of saying that, no, we have the Spirit of God, there are a lot of things that count. Amen? And it is my heart desire that God will stir that Spirit that we receive, and our Spirit that we will continue to love, to show kindness, to be faithful, to be sincere, and to be goodness to all of us. Thank you. Amen. Amen.